This morning we're going to continue a series of lessons that we began this past year. It's kind of been a theme for us over the year. And the question that we've been asking is this: why did Jesus die on the cross? And we've been looking at various answers to this question throughout the year. And as we have developed those thoughts, I have placed them on our website. And before too long, we're going to have a whole page dedicated to this topic that we've been studying this past year on our website. And if you would like to go back and look at some of those old lessons, that opportunity would be available to you by going to our website and looking for those lessons. But this morning we're going to continue this series of lessons, Why Did Jesus Die on the Cross?, with the thought that Jesus died on the cross to fulfill the Scriptures, to fulfill prophecy. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 through 4 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 through 4 as we think about what the Apostle Paul said about Jesus fulfilling the Scriptures. Notice what he says here. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now you will notice in this passage that Paul uses this expression, according to the Scriptures, several times. And that's because the life of Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament prophets. Paul went everywhere preaching Jesus. And this included preaching about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he tells us that his death and his burial and his resurrection were according to the Scriptures. And so this morning I'd like for us to look at that. I would like for us to look at the fact that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament Scriptures in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. As we think about why did Jesus die on the cross? To fulfill the Scriptures. Well, first of all, Jesus died on the cross to fulfill the Scriptures about his death, to fulfill these prophecies that were made hundreds of years before Jesus even walked the earth, that said that that the Messiah was going to die, that he was going to be buried, and that he was going to be raised again. And that's what we're going to start looking at now. Jesus fulfilled the Scriptures related, first of all, to his death. Now, as we go through this morning and we look at these Scriptures, I want to look at, on one hand, the prophecy, and then on the other hand, the fulfillment of the prophecy. And so we're going to look at several things. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, and I want to say that up front, that when we come to the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament Scriptures, there are some 333 prophecies that have been fulfilled in regard to Jesus and his life while he lived here on the earth and the death that he died as well. I've got a book in my library called All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible, and it goes through every single one of them in peculiar detail to point out the different prophecies that were made and how those prophecies were fulfilled. Well, we couldn't possibly talk about all of those in just one lesson. And so we're just going to focus on the death, burial, and resurrection, but even all of the prophecies that relate to those we can't discuss in one lesson. And so this is going to be rather kind of an overview or a summary of some of the key thoughts that are contained in the prophecies about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So let's start with the first one, his death. We see that in the prophecies, there's a prophecy that Jesus was going to be betrayed by a friend. In Psalm 41 and verse 9, we read, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And this is a messianic prophecy regarding the fact that Judas would betray Jesus. And in John chapter 13 and verse 18, Jesus points out that this prophecy was fulfilled. He said, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And you remember that Jesus took the bread that they ate that Passover meal night, and he dipped it in the sop, and Judas dipped it in the sop at the same time. And so this prophecy was a very specific prophecy about Jesus' betrayer eating bread with him and then lifting up his heel against him. And what a specific prophecy to have fulfilled in Jesus' death is that he was going to be betrayed, first of all, but then that his own familiar friend would betray him. We see that in this betrayal that Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And we turn to the book of Zechariah and chapter 11 and verse 13. And in this prophecy it says, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15, we see that there Judas contracted to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And in that passage, he says, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Now, this is one of the more amazing things, I think, about the prophecies related to the Messiah. And that is that these prophecies aren't just about what Jesus did, but a lot of them are about what Jesus' enemies did. And in that regard, the prophecies about Jesus concern what those who were opposed to him would do. And in doing those things, they actually then ended up doing the will of God in that regard. What an amazing thing prophecy is. And God, of course, certainly knew all of the things that were going to take place in Jesus' life before they happened, and so could reveal those things to us in the Old Testament scriptures. Well, in Zechariah 11, verse 13, it not only says that Jesus' betrayer, that the Messiah's betrayer, would be paid 30 pieces of silver, but that also he would take that 30 pieces of silver and throw it into the house of the Lord for the potter. And sure enough, in the New Testament, we find that when Judas was convicted that he had betrayed innocent blood, he took that 30 pieces of silver and he returned it and threw it back to the priests who had given it to them in the temple. And they said, we can't use this. We've got to take it. And they ended up buying the potter's field with it. And that field was then used to bury people who didn't have a place to be buried in that day and time. And so such a specific prophecy, and yet fulfilled in the life of Jesus and in his death. Jesus died on the cross to fulfill the scriptures related to his death. And some of those prophecies talked about him being beaten viciously. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This has reference to the scourging that Jesus would undergo before he was then crucified. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26, we read, then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Was Jesus bruised? Yes, he was. Was he wounded? Yes, he was. Did he have stripes laid upon him? Yes, he did. And again, this is a prophecy that concerns what Jesus' enemies would do to him. Not necessarily what Jesus himself would do, but what his enemies would do to him. We also see that in Jesus' death, his hands and his feet would be pierced. And in that scripture, in Psalm 22 and verses 16 through 18, we read this. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. We see in John chapter 20 and verses 25 through 29 that Jesus told Thomas to put his fingers in the nail prints where he had been pierced. And so this prophecy from Psalm 22, which is really contains three details of Jesus' death, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. First of all, that his bones would be preserved, that they wouldn't be broken. Secondly, and that they would divide his garments. Third, we're going to look at all three of these things. But we know, first of all, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. Some 1,000 years before they knew that Jesus would be crucified, it talked about his hands and his feet being pierced. Before the act of crucifixion had even been invented by the Assyrians. And so this is a remarkable prophecy indeed. But then we also see that his bones were not broken. In John chapter 19 and verse 36, it says, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken." And then we also see that his garments were divided in Mark or in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. It says, "They divided his garments and cast lots for his inner garment, which is was the single woven piece of garment that he wore on the inside." And so not only did they divide his garments, but they cast lots for it. And this spoken again about what Jesus' enemies would do when they crucified him on the cross. We see that when he died, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. In Isaiah 53 and verse 12, it says that he was numbered with the transgressors. And in Mark chapter 15 and verses 27 through 28, it says, "With him they also crucified two robbers." So there's the transgressors that he was numbered with. "One on his right and the other on his left," so that the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And we also see that he would be cut off from the living. And so in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, we read, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself." And I think this is the point that is we can take from this prophecy, is that Jesus wasn't cut off for himself. That is, because of something that he did, because of some crime that he committed, because of some sinful act that he perpetrated, it wasn't for that. It was for others. Not for himself, but for others he died. And in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 and many other New Testament scriptures, the Bible tells us that Jesus died for others. And here it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to do what? To give his life a ransom for many." And so Jesus died on the cross to fulfill the scriptures related to his death. And these are just a few of the scriptures that Paul talked about there in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said that he died according to the scriptures. Well, what about Jesus' burial? Are there prophecies relating to his burial? Are there scriptures related to that? And there is. When we turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, we read that he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. And so he died with the wicked. And that, of course, is referring to those two robbers who were crucified with him. But then the rich at his death. And of course, after Jesus died, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and he asked for Jesus' body. In Matthew 27 and verse 57, it says, "Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. And then Joseph then took Jesus and delivered him from the burial of a criminal." And criminals were not really treated very well after their death. In fact, we see that Jesus was delivered from a criminal's burial, or a criminal's disposal might be the more accurate way of describing it. When criminals died on the cross, a lot of times they simply left the body up there for the birds of the air to come and to dispose of. Or sometimes if they took the body down, they would just discard it in a place where trash was discarded, where wild animals could come in and to just do whatever they willed with those bodies. But notice the prophecy in Psalm 22 in verses 20 through 21. It says, "Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen." Well, what is this talking about? It's talking about delivery from a criminal's death. And in Matthew 22 and verses 58 through 60, we see that that's exactly what happened. This man, that is Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And so Jesus was delivered from the dog and from the lion and from the wild oxen in his death, because his grave was with the wicked, but with the rich in his death. And so when he died, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, came and delivered Jesus from that other possibility of disposal of his body. But we also see that he would be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the tomb as well. In Jonah 1 in verse 17, it tells us that Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, we read, "For Jesus' words, he said, 'For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" And of course, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:4 that Jesus rose again on the third day. And so, again, talking about Jesus' burial, the scriptures were fulfilled in that regard. But then finally this morning, as we think about prophecies related to Jesus' resurrection, let's look at a few things in that regard. And first of all, we note that God would not leave his soul in Hades or Sheol, or let his body be corrupted. In Psalm 16 and verse 10, it says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And when Peter explained what this prophecy meant in Acts chapter 2 and verse 31, he said this, "He," that is David, "foreseeing this," that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, "spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades," that is the place of the dead, Sheol, that's the Old Testament word for the place of the dead, Hades is the New Testament word for the place of the dead, "his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." And we understand that to mean that Jesus' body was not corrupted like dead bodies become over a long period of time, but rather that his body was raised. And because it was raised, then it did not see corruption. We see also that God prophesied in Isaiah 26 and verse 19 that his dead body would live. And this is a unique prophecy in regard to the resurrection, because it's talking about the children of Israel being resurrected, but then it's also talking about God being resurrected as well in this context. He says in Isaiah 26:19, "Your dead shall live, together with my dead body. They shall arise. What a remarkable prophecy that is given here in this passage. And we see, sure enough, that it was fulfilled in Mark chapter 16 and verse 6, when the angel said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And so in that prophecy, it talks about God, his dead body arising again, which is a remarkable prophecy if you think about it. And it could have only been fulfilled in Jesus. We also see in thinking about Jesus' resurrection that God was going to give Jesus his inheritance, and that he would divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Psalm 53 and verse 12 says, Isaiah 53 and verse 12. And in that regard, how could one who is dead then divide a portion with the great? Or how could he divide a portion with the strong? There's only one way. That if he died, that is, and that is for him to be resurrected. And that's how he receives that inheritance. In Psalm 2 and verse 8, we read the words of God to his Messiah, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. Paul preaches about this in Acts chapter 13 and verses 33 through 36 and says that these prophecies then apply to Jesus and his resurrection. Notice also, this is Psalm 16 and verse 11, that the Messiah, of course, referring to Jesus, would then sit down on the right hand of the Father. And once again, this is talking about his resurrection. And why is that? Because he can't sit down on the right hand of the Father if he hasn't been raised from the dead. Psalm 16 and verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, Peter then says, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear." Why did Jesus die on the cross? To fulfill the Scriptures. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so Jesus died on the cross to fulfill the Scriptures. Now this means one thing and one thing only. And that thing is concluded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus said it like this: "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." All authority. What does that mean? It means that Jesus has all authority today, and that we need to submit to his authority. And how do we do that? We've got to follow him. We've got to become his disciple. We've got to become a Christian by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized just as Jesus said we ought to do. And he commanded that people do this, to follow him. Why? Because he has all authority. Why? Because he died, he was buried, and he was raised again. Why? Because he fulfilled the Scriptures. He demonstrated that he was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh, that he was the Messiah, and that he has all authority. And today, no one comes to the Father except through him. And if we want to get to heaven and be with God eternally, then we need to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need to do that this morning, to become a child of God by doing the things that Jesus said to do. Well, we can help you with that decision today. If you're a Christian and you need to change your life and turn it around to submit to the one who has all authority, as demonstrated by His death, His burial, and His resurrection, as prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, and as proclaimed by His apostles and prophets, then this morning we welcome you to come back and to be restored, to make things right with God, so that you can live for Him under the authority of Jesus Christ. And you can do that now, while together we stand and while we sing.